Merry Christmas, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm Pastor Nate Keeler. I'm the lead pastor here at Brandywine. Some of you, this is your first Christmas with us, and we're so delighted to have you. Many of you, this is a time-old tradition to come back here. Some of you come from out of town to visit family, and I get to see you this one time a year. It's special. And then, of course, there's the rest of you that are here each Sunday, and we want to welcome everyone here this Christmas Eve. You can turn in your Bibles or use the one in the seat back in front of you, or you can go on your app and go to Luke chapter 2, where we just heard a Shani read from the scriptures. This will be where we're going to concentrate from the text of scripture today. Of course, as you're turning there, Christmas season is a season of gift giving and gift receiving, right? That's really what we do. Is one of the primary traditions that we do at Christmas time is we give gifts. And I feel like I need to give gifts to the Amazon delivery man this time of year for all the deliveries in the month of December at my house. And if it's anything like yours, you feel the same way. Now, the majority of us open up gifts tomorrow, right? Most of us are going to open our gifts tomorrow, but there are some of those people out there that do have a tradition of opening Christmas Eve gifts. Any of you open any Christmas Eve gifts? Raise your hand, hold them high. Okay, we have a prayer team in the back. They're going to come and lay hands on you for that strange thing you do. No, I'm just kidding. That's fine. You do you. This is fine. This is a judgment-free zone here this evening. But most of us will be receiving and giving gifts tomorrow. I'd like to just get a little bit nostalgic here. Christmas is a time for nostalgia. I want you to think back to Christmas presents that you received when you were a kid. Think back of the most memorable Christmas gift that you ever received. Think about that Christmas gift that where the anticipation of receiving it had you so fired up, so excited that you could not sleep Christmas Eve. When you received that present, your hands were shaking. You could barely sit down. And when you opened it up and it was what you thought it was, remember that exhilaration and that joy jumping around. And all that crazy energy, maybe it got on camera for you. Do you know what that gift was? You remember that in your mind, what that was? Now, some of you can go back just a year or two. Some of you maybe go back a decade or two. Or some of you have to go back, as my kids say, to the black and white era. You know, some of you need to go way, way back to remember that moment. Well, what was that moment for you? My kids would probably tell you that the greatest Christmas gift they ever received was their Christmas puppy, Cosmo. And I think I show a picture of that. He was really cute back then. He's not nearly as cute now. He still has his moments. They would either say Cosmo or a gaming console. It's like, you know, half and half for them. Well, what about you? Anyone just want to shout out your most memorable gift that you ever received? What about somebody in this area? Somebody shout it out. Go-kart. Oh, that's a nice one. And you're not talking about Mario Kart. You're actually talking about a real go-kart. Well, that's going to be tough to be. Anybody in this section? What's a Christmas gift? What? Nintendo Switch. Okay, yeah, a lot of amens from some young kids out there. What about this section? A trampoline. That's a pretty good one. Okay, good, good. What about you guys in this section?
A grandson.
Well, that's just going to win. That's like... Nobody's beating that one. What about somebody up here in the balcony?
Skateboard.
A skateboard. Okay, pretty good. Pretty good gifts. Good. Let's do a little flashback throughout the decades so that everybody can feel like they're included here. This is a very multi-generational church. So we have some people that are kids right now and thinking about that, maybe that this Christmas is going to be the most memorable gift they ever receive. And some of you are like really seasoned, older folks that are here, and maybe you have to go back a little bit further. So let's go back 8 decades to the most popular gift of each decade. I'm going to start with the 1940s. The most popular gift in the 1940s was the Slinky. Hours and hours of mesmerized fun watching that Slinky go from step to step. Some of you remember that moment. The 1950s, the most popular gift was the hula hoop. Yeah, that kid trying to figure out how to do it. The kid in the background already's got it going around the neck, which is amazing. The 1960s brought on the most popular gift, Barbie, right? I mean, Barbie just took the country by storm. Every little girl had to have a Barbie. Some of you have this particular Barbie. You remember this Barbie. And Hasbro, watching the genius of Mattel, said, you know what? We've got an idea. Let's come up with the most popular gift, a doll for boys called G.I. Joe. And so, not to be outdone, the G.I. Joe in the 1960s. 1970s roll by, and by the way, I'm going to take out gaming devices from here on forward, because at that point, they basically dominate the gift giving. So non-gaming consoles, starting in the 1970s, most popular gift was a Rubik's Cube. I hate that thing. I really do. I never could figure it out, the Rubik's Cube. 1980s, the number one non-gaming gift for girls was Cabbage Patch Kids. I heard a lot of you saying that. So maybe one of these or one of the Cabbage Patch Kids you had. Also, boys could have Cabbage Patch Kids. I may have had one myself. In the 1990s, the number one non-gaming gift for boys, Nerf guns. Definitely, that's the original, okay? It's literally a pull back, shoot one bullet. Now we have like machine guns that have a trail of bullets flying out, hit you at 100 miles an hour in the neck. Thank you, Nerf, for that. 2000s, we get to the 2000s, and this is when Razor scooters made their appearance. How many of you kids or millennials or Gen Zers have Razor scooters? Remember getting those, okay? 2010s, the number one gift those in that decade was Lego sets, theme Legos. Now, Legos have always been popular, but like the 2010s was like the height of their popularity. Dominated our house, I think, for like a decade straight. Our kids went to Legoland for one Christmas. I think I have a video or a picture of that at Legoland. Just blew their minds as little kids. A close second, by the way, in the 2010s was the hoverboard, which sent a lot of parents to the ER that year, like this poor fella who thought they still had it and then realized they don't. In the 2020s so far, 4 years, what do you think is the number one non-video game related gift of the decade? Any guesses? Baby Yoda. Yeah. Remember that thing? It came like full on and then went, right? So baby Yoda. Okay. I hope that was memorable for you as you thought back through the decades. Maybe you got some of those. Now here's the really important truth that I want us to just meditate on for a few minutes together. All of these moments of anticipation, all of these moments of joy, of gratitude, of longing at Christmas point to something beyond themselves, beyond the gift themselves, beyond the feeling of joy that you experience. In C.S. Lewis's words from Surprised by Joy, he calls these signposts, that all of these moments of joy at Christmas that we experience are like signposts that point to something deeper and more eternal, something more lasting. He says in his book, all joy reminds. It is never a possession, always a desire for something longer ago or further away or still about to be. Do you understand what Lewis is saying? What he's saying, he's talking about this ultimate permanent joy that we were meant to experience. See, it's really what he's talking about is this gift that the angels came to give in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of, the possession of this ultimate joy that all of these little Christmas joys point to that fulfills the ultimate joy at Christmas, the gift of Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at what the angels announce in verse 10. It says, but the angel said to them, to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now I want to make two brief points for you to take with you this Christmas, to consider and meditate on this Christmas. And here's the first point that this text points us to. Lesser joys fade, but the ultimate joy of Christmas lasts forever. Let me be a Debbie Downer just for a moment to tell you something you already know, which is that Christmas gifts, even the most memorable ones, last for just a moment, don't they? They lose their luster over time. Some of those gifts lose their luster within a half hour when they're broken already, right? I got a drone for one of our kids, like within 45 minutes, the drone, like dead, done, right? That's what you get for buying a cheap one from China on Amazon. Some of our gifts that we're gonna get, we realize we're not coordinated enough to have, okay? But all of them, even the greatest ones, they lose their luster after time. C.S. Lewis calls this kind of joy that we experience stabs of joy, which is an amazing thought. He calls them stabs of joy. That is, they come in, they're very intense for a moment. They might even leave a lasting memory or impression, but ultimately they don't last. The feeling doesn't last. And they were never meant to last because there's nothing on this planet, nothing that Apple can make, nothing that Amazon can deliver to your home, not even something that your family member or spouse can make you that will last forever. The only thing in the world that our souls can experience that is permanent comes from God Himself. Now, this is a life-changing truth if we're willing to take it in to ourselves. If we can get our heads and hearts to lay hold of this. All the things that we try to grasp in this life, to hold on to in this life, to give us ultimate and lasting joy, anything that we pursue thinking, if I get that, then my life will finally be happy or satisfying or joyful, all of those things are just stabs of joy, C.S. Lewis would say. That new gaming system that you're obsessing over getting, stabs of joy. That new Barbie dream house, as cool as that's going to be, it's just a stab of joy. It's a momentary joy. That promotion at work, that winning that championship with your team, the promise of moving out of your parents' basement one day, or having your kids move out of your basement one day, stabs of joy. That relationship or that party or that vacation or that big bonus, all of them are just fleeting, momentary joys. Now, these things are not bad things. Often they're good things. They're a reminder of God's blessing in our lives or the payoff for hard work, right? But they're just signposts. They're hints of or reminders of, not the possession of, the ultimate Christmas joy. And that is the child born 2,000 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. See, do you realize what this means if this is true? If Luke 2 is not just a quaint fairy tale, but if it is an actual historical event, it means that God really did ultimately come to this planet for our ultimate joy. God came so that we can experience joy forever, because ultimate joy is found in being rescued from the brokenness of sin and shame that we all deal with. That's where joy is found. Ultimate joy is found in the wonderful relief from unbearable pain that some of us experience in this life. Ultimate joy is found in the eradication of evil, horrendous, inexplicable evil and corruption that is around us in this world. Ultimate joy is found in the restoration of relationships. It's found in the ultimate restoration of relationship with God, that sin separates us from a holy God, the forgiveness that Jesus offers us. That's where ultimate joy is found. That baby who was born has come to bring us ultimate joy. And he came that first Christmas. He died on Good Friday. He rose from the dead on Easter so that we can experience the ultimate joy of having a relationship with God forever that lasts for eternity. And some of you might be surprised to hear this, but let me tell you that God is fiercely committed to your ultimate joy. And he proved it that first Christmas. Some of you are challenged by that because you think of God and a relationship with God as, you know, God is this distant, aloof, you know, king somewhere out there, or a judge who's just waiting for you to screw up so he can hit you with a lightning bolt from heaven. Some of us think about God as through a set of rules, or you think God is just a concept from ages past. But if what the angels announced to the shepherds is true, we can't say that because God proved it, that he's far more invested in your ultimate joy than you are. An ultimate joy is found in Jesus. Are you chasing a lesser joy today? Are you chasing a lesser joy? I want to give you a second point to meditate on. Ultimate joy is found and is a gift for all people. For all people. Verse 10, it says, I've come to bring this good news that causes great joy for all people. And the proof that God was serious about the all in all people is that the message came to shepherds. Now, the message could have come to kings. It could have come to the religious elite of the day, but it came to an unnamed group of illiterate shepherds in an unnamed location in an unnamed field somewhere outside of Bethlehem. Now, we think of shepherds maybe as like this, like these like cute, quaint, nostalgic, you know, people in robes and a staff with cute little sheep. That was not the view of shepherds back 2,000 years ago in Israel. Shepherds were considered untrustworthy. It was like the lowest of low form of manual labor. It's the job you gave kids and migrant workers at the time. If you were Jewish, a Jewish person, and you ended up as an adult, as a shepherd, that was considered like a total life fail for you. You get in the picture of what it was to be a shepherd 2,000 years ago? And do you see what this announcement to the shepherds means? It means that if even they're included, friends, what does that mean for us? It means that the all in all people means you and me. It means especially you and me. Friends, maybe you're here today. You say, man, I've got problems in my life and I need this ultimate joy. God says, this joy is for you. It's especially for you. Say, but you don't know. I've got addictions. My life is a mess. I have big mistakes. I have a lot of brokenness in my life. I have regrets. It's too late for me. The good news of great joy comes for you, especially for you. If you feel unseen, it's especially for you. Anybody that you've ever thought is a lost cause, anybody that you've ever thought, well, they'll never change, they're too far gone, it's too late for them, they don't have the right information, or they're never going to come to church, the good news is especially for them. And it's for you too. Maybe that's you here today. Maybe you came because, you know, you want to appease mom or dad or grandmom or grandpop or the girl or the boy that you're with right now. And you're like, I'm not sure. I'm not really religious. I don't really know what I think about any of this stuff. Let me tell you, this news of great joy is for you, especially for you today. You're just the kind of person that God wants to reach. And this message is for you today, especially for you today. You are never outside of the reach of God's grace. Do you know that? And that was me. In fact, it still is me. I had every opportunity growing up to know the truth and to accept Christ, but I went the exact opposite way of everything the Bible tells you you're supposed to do. And I lived my life however I wanted to. And I was not a good person. If you would have met me 25 years ago, I was not a good person. And yet God rescued me, especially me. He brought this good news of the gospel to me when I needed it most. And it's here for you it's available for you as well. If you're still chasing ultimate joy in lesser things, will you today realize, in the words of C.S. Lewis, that those things are just the scent of a flower we have not yet found, an echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never visited? It is only found in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promise of life forever with him. Will you consider today that Jesus was born that first Christmas, especially for you? The gospel is the most exclusive, inclusive message that the world has ever heard. It's inclusive because there's not a single person that's ever been born that's left out of the invitation. Every single person can access the gospel. But it's the most exclusive message because it's only found in one person, Jesus Christ himself. May your life point to the ultimate joy that we can find, that we're made for in Jesus Christ. That's why he came that first Christmas. We have a special gift for you. If you are, if you're thinking about faith right now, maybe you're just coming back to faith, or you're newer to the faith and you want a little bit more guidance on what Christmas is all about, we have a free gift for you. It's out at our guest center with just a couple of tables out in the lobby to your left. Grab one of these on your way out. It's called Why Christmas. It's an easy-to-read, short pamphlet, very engaging and interesting. We'd love to give you one of these as a gift. We also have a connection card in the seat back in front of you. If you want to know more about what does it mean to follow Jesus, what does it mean to be engaged in a church, like what is all this about, you can fill one of those out and drop them in the offering boxes on either side of the door. Just drop them in. We'd love to follow up with you about your relationship with God as well. Let me say a word of prayer as we continue in our time together. Heavenly Father, today as we come together and we celebrate this good news of great joy for all people, may you speak to our hearts today. Lord, if there's anyone here that today that doesn't yet have that ultimate joy, maybe today, this Christmas Eve, would be the evening that their life has changed, that they encounter the truth of Jesus Christ, that he indeed did come for our ultimate joy, to conquer sin, to do away with evil, and restore our relationship with God. They embrace the Christ of Christmas, his death on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, his resurrection from the grave to show his power over death, and we might live together with him forever. We thank you for coming that first Christmas on your rescue mission. In Jesus' name, amen.